Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, Eddie, more of same with Mets. They win two games in dramatic come-from-behind fashion and then get blown out last night. So it's, in this case, two steps up, one back. But I'll tell you, you have to have serious doubts about Steven Matz and his future with this ball club. He just seems lost.
He does seem lost this year. It's frustrating, and I'm sure it's ultimately frustrating for him. I think back to spring training, and you know, he said it last night too. He was throwing the ball great, and he was. And even in the summer camp when they reconvened as well, but it just has not translated on the mound at all, and that was, you know, frustrating to watch last night. And I'm sure it was frustrating for him to go through. Whether it's, you know, pitch sequence or, command of his pitches, whatever it is that has been failing him this year, it's something he's tried to correct, and it just hasn't worked for him. I think there have been times, it has puzzled him what to throw and when to throw it. You see a guy like Jacob DeGrom, who's probably his best friend on the team. Jake talks a lot about, reading hitters' swings and, what to throw off of that. I don't know if that's something that, Steven hasn't, got to this point or what it is, but I think when he's on, he's got great stuff. He's got a good fastball. I love his curveball. I understand that sometimes he might be hesitant to throw it if it's not on. He would hate to leave a curveball hanging, but when he's got the curveball going with the changeup and the fastball, he can have electric stuff. And he made great strides last year in the second half. I thought he threw the ball tremendous in the second half last year, and that was something to look forward to coming into this year. And have, I don't know what set it off the rails this year. He did face the Nationals twice in a row, back-to-back, which was tough. They're a good hitting team, and they took advantage of that. Philly was the next one, and Philly was hot at the time. And this team is not the best team to face, Atlanta. You look up and down that lineup, they're having ridiculous seasons. We talk a lot about Dom Smith and his 40 RBIs in 40 games or so. Well, Freddie Freeman's got 48. Marcelo Ozuna's got 47. Austin, Adam Duvall has 15 home runs. Nobody saw that coming. It's a tough lineup to get through, and it was proved to be very tough for him last night.
Yeah, and as much as you got two guys on the Mets who are MVP consideration, when you look at Freeman's numbers, you go, oh, my God, he's just having a year.
I said last night that, it's hard to believe that this was a guy who, was –
COVID,
well,
maybe
basically he was incapacitated 2 months ago, and he was fearing for his life at that point. Nick Markakis opted out after talking to Freddie Freeman at that point in time. He was that scared about the COVID, and 2 months later, he can't get the guy out. It's scary. I mean, we know he's a tremendous player, but right now the Braves are raking it, and they certainly did last night.
Yeah, and I got some criticism early in this show from people saying, why did he leave Matz in? And You know, you had to, in the first inning especially, you saw him get out of it with only one run scored, thanks to a Conforto throw and a block, a wily veteran block of third base by Todd Frazier, the pitcher at the end of the game. But you figure, you've seen that happen with him before, and then he tightens up and he figures it out and he pitches well. This time, you know, right from the beginning of the second inning, you could tell it just wasn't going to be there for him.
Yeah, no, that was tough, and I, you know, there was a part of me was saying I wondered if he was going to be have to be the guy who stayed out there and took one for the team, and ended up being Jared Hughes eventually, but they tried Colome, who had, and it had worked before with Colome. He had given him, you know, four great innings back when, but not last night. That got ugly in the fourth inning, and he was gone. And eventually, it was Hughes who came in there and kind of soaked it up. But listen, the Mets. There have been a lot of problems with the Mets this year, and you know the length with the starting rotation has been a big one. You know, you wouldn't think, even though they won the two games in Philadelphia, their two aces this year, or the two guys they count on the most, DeGrom and Lugo, in the starting rotation, you know, go two innings and one and a third. So you can't keep doing that and going to the bullpen and try to put out fires. It's going to kill you eventually, and it has. But, you know, there have been other problems too at various times, runners in scoring position, trying to get runs in from third base. That was a huge problem for them for a while. Having traffic on the bases has never been a problem for them. Converting it has been. Their defense, suspect at times, base running. There have been a lot of problems with the Mets this year, you know, from rising their ugly heads from time to time. But, you know, the lack of length in the starting rotation certainly has been a big one.
Yeah, and that's really key, because you look at, as you mentioned, the offensive numbers have been pretty good, even with the lack of hitting with runners in scoring position. But, I think the big letdown is Alonso, who, you know, hit a big home run Thursday night and has done that on occasion, but he has just really lost at the plate. He is just expanding the strike zone. If I'm an opposing pitcher, I don't throw him a fastball. I just keep throwing him breaking stuff, and he'll swing at it, it seems.
Yeah, no, Pete has obviously not figured it out this year, and it's a lot of it, I think, is in his head, simply because he cares so much and tries so hard. And I think there are times you've just got to relax a little bit. You know, you look at the 11 home runs, the 26 RBIs, not terrible. But, you know, he's a better hitter than what he has shown overall this year. And that's been very frustrating. You know, last year was not just a home run hitter, even though he had 53. You know, there were a lot of gappers. There were a lot of hits that continued innings. That hasn't been there this year, and that's been a big void in the lineup. Yeah, you're right. It's been a problem. He wasn't even in there last night. He'll be back in there today. And I think there were times, that the Mets felt this would come. You know, eventually Pete is going to go on a tear here. It's happened maybe a couple of games in a row, but it just hasn't happened enough.
Yeah, hasn't been able to continue it, and you're seeing Dom Smith out there in first base most of the time. Little note in the paper today that Cespedes, the reason he opted out was he thought, and this is not really breaking news, that he didn't like being a DH, and he didn't like the fact, he thought the Mets were manipulating his time to limit his compensation. So, you know, that chapter, that door is closed, and I think it will stay closed.
Gee, I thought it was COVID related.
Yeah, right.
Okay, yeah. Well, if I got a bridge I want to sell you too. Yeah, no, that doesn't surprise me, and I kind of felt that was the problem all along. You know, Cespedes wasn't real happy with his contract being reduced in the first place, and it was reduced heavily for sure, but that was of his own making too. Take care of yourself in the off season. But it was fairly obvious that he wasn't happy, and he could see the writing on the wall too, as well. You had to remember that, you know, Dom Smith was forcing his way into the lineup on a daily basis at that point in time. You simply couldn't keep that bat on the bench, and it was going to affect Cespedes. And I realize every player loves to play in the field. Robbie Cano feels the same way. He'd rather be out at second base than DH. But, with the Mets and the situation they have, the DH, you know, ultimately helps them, because there are a lot of people, obviously, that, may not be the best defensively, whatever, but you can get their bat in the lineup, so we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was the one good thing about Cespedes going out is that it gave Smith an opportunity to play a lot more and show what he could do, and he certainly has done that. I'm starting to wonder about Luis Rojas. I mean, I know it's a small sample. It's not enough games to really make a determined judgment, but you are going to have a new owner in most likely before the end of the year, and you're going to have to make a decision about your general manager and your manager. And the team just, a lot of times, just doesn't seem prepared. The base running mistakes, the throws to the wrong, all these things that, you know, you hope major league players should know about without even being managed, but they just seem to fall down in so many fundamental things.
Yeah, no, it probably doesn't reflect well. I'm a big Luis Rojas fan. I am. I think he's going to be a very good manager, and I don't know what the situation is going to be here with he or Brody Van Wagenen, for that matter, when Steve Cohen, I think, ultimately takes over and is approved. But I'm a Rojas fan. I am. I love the way he handles things and handles players. I think he's, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the trees, from the tree. I think he's very much like his dad, Felipe Alou, who I loved as a manager and as a player and as a person, too. And I do think he has the respect of the players. He talks to them constantly, and I think that's a very important part of managing these days. You know, everyone wants to play. Everyone can't play every day. And, you know, sometimes you've got to, you know, smooth ruffled feathers, if you will. So, and I think Louis does a great job of that because he values one-on-one communication and he gets to everybody and talks to everybody. I just think back to Mickey Callaway, who didn't spend a heck of a lot of time in the locker room and didn't talk to his players all that much. Luis does. So I'm a big fan. I don't know what his future is going to be. I think, you know, some of the problems, yeah, you can probably attribute to that, but it hasn't been a normal season, too. I think you have to remember, Rich, that this was a guy who was appointed late after Carlos Beltran and has had, you know, a shortened spring training, 4.5 months off, then a summer camp, and then this crazy season. I think you have to factor that all in, too.
Yeah, yeah, you certainly do. I look at the example of Girardi when you think, boy, with the Yankees, boy, he manipulated that bullpen, and he got the most out of those guys, and that bullpen was so good, and he handled it so well. Well, he had Mariano Rivera at the end of it.
Right.
And you look at what he's doing with the Phillies, and the bullpen is atrocious.
Yeah, and well, I thought he made a mistake the other night, honestly, my opinion anyway, with, you know, I think he brought Blake Parker in. I would have gone, you know, that's a game that he had to win. Now, again, the Phillies won two games of a doubleheader yesterday, which helped them immensely. But, you know, I probably would have gone to my big guys at that point in time. But then, you know what? You can always second guess. The Phillies had a doubleheader, you know, after that game last, the game they lost on Thursday. They had a doubleheader yesterday. So, you know, Joe's probably looking ahead and saying, I need some of these guys here for Friday too. So, it's hard to judge. It's hard to judge. Yes, he did have Mariano. That helped an awful lot. There's no question.
Yeah. And if the Mets are to have any shot at the postseason, and that shot is diminishing day by day with time ticking off, yeah, they really got two more with Atlanta. Then they got three with Tampa Bay and four with Washington.
Yeah, I mean, the way I looked at it going in, this is before last night, I said they had to win these series. That's two or three from Atlanta, which they still can do.
Yeah.
Two or three from Tampa and three or four from Washington. But that puts you, you know, listen, this is a team that has the three-game win streak has been the tops this year. They're not going to win nine in a row. But that puts you at 30-30 for the year. That gets you to 500. Now, is that good enough? I have no idea because the two wild cards right now both have 26 wins. All right, so Cincinnati has 8 games left. The Phillies, I think, have 9 games left. So, you know, can they win more than 4 at that point in time? Yeah, you would think. All right, but I have no idea. But I think that's probably the most realistic way to look at it. You know, can they go 7-2? Maybe, but, you know, they haven't shown that they're capable of that thus far. So we'll have to see.
Yeah. How about DeGrom? Will he be able to start his next one? I know he was throwing and seemingly better?
Yeah, you know, he'll be okay. I just don't know when. He threw a bullpen yesterday, and they still don't have a starter for tomorrow. I mean, David Peterson is going today. Could it be DeGrom tomorrow? Yeah. Either way, he's only going to get two starts, so it's, you know, Sunday, Friday, or, you know, Monday, Saturday, I don't know. But he'll get two more starts. I think he's okay. I just don't know when he's going to pitch, whether it'll be tomorrow, Monday, or maybe even Tuesday. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, and that's how crazy this whole Cy Young thing is, because one bad inning now, people are saying, well, that's it for him and Cy Young, and it's crazy. Like, okay, what if he throws two nine-inning shutouts, you know?
Right.
Maybe he crawls back into it, but it's such a small sample that what can you take from it?
Yeah, well, you may have looked at the Cy Young winner last night in Max Fried. I don't know, but, you know, he threw five innings of, what, one-run ball last night, and he's you know, his ERA under two, and he's also 7-0 on the year. You know, I know the wins don't matter as much now, and especially in this season, but Max Fried is right up there too, and he looks healthy off last night, and you know, he's got, I guess, at least one more start anyway before the playoffs for the Braves. So, and there are other guys too, so who knows? But Jake can be right there and thrust himself right back into it too.
Okay, Eddie, thank you. We'll talk to you again next weekend.
All right, Rich.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.